Welcome to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Finally, to our last interview of the day with the incredibly talented Vera Allen. How are you doing, Vera?
Good morning. I'm doing crusty and wonderful.
Yeah, love to hear it. proud of the crusties out there. Good on you for being crusty. Is that because you had a wild one?
I did the Infinity Sessions with Neil Finn and Liao at Roundhead.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we filmed that and it was such an amazing evening. And yeah, just had a couple things to drink afterwards. So
nice.
Just celebrate and yeah.
Cool. How was the event?
It was amazing. It was really quite, it was like probably the most nervous I've been in a really long time. Like, because mm-hmm. we obviously there was cameras there filming, but we also had like a small audience. And they had like a string section,
mm-hmm.
and
cool.
It was just like, it was crazy. It was so cool, yeah.
Cool. And you've been doing a bunch of shows and all sorts of different things recently. I had the privilege of catching you at Twisted, which is really cool. How's that been going? How's all your gigging been?
Yeah, so I've been doing, what do? We did Twisted, Laneway, mm-hmm. we did Te Papa, we're doing Cuba Duba, not next week, but the week after.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really fun getting to play with my band and like play all these different kind of environments. I always enjoy anything that's just outside of the normal of bars.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because that can get quite cut and dry, and mm-hmm. so anything that's like pushing that, I'm always down for. Yeah,
I was thinking even those places you said you played are all pretty darn varied, like playing at Te Papa, playing at Twisted.
Oh my god.
Those are some pretty vastly different vibes. How's that like affected playing? Like, do you think you perform differently? Has it been like bringing a different energy, or has it been like teaching you about playing music in different spaces?
Oh, 100%. So I like curate the sets completely different. Like, the Te Papa set versus the Twisted set is like two different sides of my music. And then Cuba Duba is going to be some kind of blend of like the party side and then also the more contemplative kind of deep side. So I do, mm-hmm. it does drive me a bit crazy with the curation side of it, because I'm a big fan of not like repeating set lists. Mm-hmm. But that's also really tricky just with organizing everyone's times and stuff. But I think it's also about, being like, where are the audience at in the moment that you meet them, and will they like, what will they receive best in that moment? And so I do try to consider the space and the audience instead of just being like, oh, I just want to play this, so I'm going to play this.
Yeah, cool. Because you've also got a very talented band with you as well.
A bunch
of people we hear loads of on across the Student Radio Network. And does that influence like what your songwriting is? Do you play always with all of them, or I can imagine it. Te Papa, did you do like a different setup or anything, or do you still manage to utilize all their skills in all sorts of ways, I'm sure?
Yeah, well, we all play, most of them now can play my songs on multiple instruments.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so usually we all kind of swap around, and and they like doing that too, because it's much more like interesting as a musician
totally.
To get to change instruments, but it is also like a bit of a mixing, like it's a bit of a nightmare for whoever's on monitors, and it's like a lot more risky. But I've been playing with them for a long time. At this point I've got about 6 band members, but it's sort of a bit of a rotation of like who can make the show, what's practical with the pay and setup, and and like a mix. So we've done it in all sorts of arrangements at this point.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so you've got a new song out as well. We've got Sangria Demo. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wrote Sangria last year, just in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And some fun facts about it, I sampled the neighbor's party, which was like a really amusing moment of like, it was like a Saturday night and the next door neighbor's like having a rager, and I was just recording a song in my bedroom and I was getting really annoyed, and then instead of getting annoyed I was like, I'm just gonna like use it as an ambience in the song. So I have that, and I also sampled myself mixing ice around in a cup.
Nice.
And I think that song is just about like I guess kind of reminiscing on a particular like romance, but also kind of wanting to push the boundaries and like do the thing that you're not meant to do. And I think everyone can kind of relate to that feeling of like, oh, I just want to say, you know, effort and just mm-hmm. do the thing because I'm bored, or like, you know, yeah. for some stupid reason, and just like throw all my ethics out the window for this evening or for this moment or something. Mm-hmm. So it kind of explores that, and it's just quite a fun track, I guess. Yeah.
Cool. And we were talking about instrumentation a little bit before, but you've got, it's called Demo. Does that mean we're going to get some like low-key, just bedroom, just guitar vibes, or you still treat a demo like a landscape, you go all over the place?
Oh, yeah, so my demos are, like, pretty fully-fledged. Mm-hmm. Like, usually if I'm making an album, mm-hmm. like, with Ideal Home Noise and It's Your Birthday and stuff, mm-hmm. they were fully, like, fledged demos before we went in the studio. So yeah. usually I have, like, drums, bass, keys, guitar, and, yeah, just messing around with those kind of thing. So, yeah, it's one person might hear it and just be like, this is a song fully.
Yeah, cool.
Only reason I chuck demo in there is because I've performed it a few times now with my band, and I love the band version, so yeah. I wanted to keep that option open.
Cool. No, that's really cool. Yeah. It's exciting that you've got so many different options from like both yourself being able to play all those instruments, or having like people being able to perform live and hear in different spaces and stuff as well. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, totally. I think it's like it kind of expresses different parts of my self as an artist too. Like there's, you know, the demo versions of stuff is like, it feels so pure, mm-hmm. Because it's just all me, mm-hmm. and then the other stuff is nice because, yeah, obviously other people bring their own energy to things, and like, and that's amazing and in its own way, and so yeah, it's nice.
Cool. And could you tell us a little bit about like what sort of ambitions and plans you have for your project in the future, because you've been doing loads of shows recently. Are you keeping the momentum going?
Yeah, so I just finished an album, and I'm sort of just cool. in the works of like, well, not just finished, just finished mastering. Mm-hmm. So just in the moment of figuring out the plans for release around that. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of also at home working on a like EP that maybe I'll put out, and it's honestly coming to the end of the summer, end of festival season, mm-hmm. and getting into a bit of question mark zone, but I'm sure there'll be much to come.
Yeah,
you ain't seen the last of me.
Cool, that's very exciting. And you've created like quite a lot of a prolific amount of music of a whole bunch of different varieties of styles and stuff as well. What are some of your like biggest influences and artists that you really enjoyed when you're growing up, or even while you're creating music, who you like kind of performed with or seen somewhere?
Awesome, yeah. Well, massive influence for me growing up, honestly, Patti Smith.
Yeah, cool.
Was huge. Janis Joplin. Mm-hmm. My mum used to play like Janis Joplin records, and like in terms of songwriting, like Carole King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool.
Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen. All the classics, Nick Cave, Nina Simone, Jeff Buckley. These are all like my like, core influences.
Yeah, cool.
That it's like those are the types of artists I don't necessarily like listen to now. I think I'm probably more into like a bit of mm-hmm. honestly, I listen to a lot more ambient music now than anything.
Yeah, cool. Nice.
But and yeah, my favorite record last year was the Diamond Jubilee by Cindy Lee.
Yeah. I was actually just loaded some of that up to play soon as well.
No way.
Yeah,
oh,
great
God.
Album.
I'm obsessed with that
it's
record.
It's such a long album, but still so like good and just easy listening and like really cool if you engage in it. It's great.
Exactly. You can just play it or you can listen intently, and either way you can just have the best, yeah. Such an incredible album.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's so much cool music coming out now, and my brother Albert River put out an album last year called Banquo, mm-hmm. Which is quite beautiful. It's like quite ambient as well, actually. And there's so much I could go on forever, but yeah.
Cool. No, very exciting. I'm very excited to hear what new stuff you've created. And has that felt like you started off with some of those kind of classic influences, and then you've obviously moved to having different tastes now and obviously playing with a bunch of different people. Do you feel like your sound has had a like very distinct linear kind of change? Like, do you see yourself moving in certain directions at the moment?
I don't know, because what the stuff that I end up putting out on vinyl, like the recorded albums, is always different from maybe the stuff I'm making in my bedroom as well. Like, the stuff that I make in my bedroom is a little bit more experimental, whereas like if I'm making an album, there's a bit more like maybe intentionality or like structure to it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested in continuing to explore both and pushing both in different ways and having, you know, one that's like, yeah, I don't know. It's a constant unfolding. Yeah.
True. Cool. And for the people of Otipoti, have you got any last words, things they should hear about, things they should check out? Obviously check out the new single, Sangria. Yeah. Any final words?
Yeah, I actually started a YouTube channel.
Oh, yo, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
It's called Not Vera Allen, and I'm pretty much just trying to talk about stuff that I think that we should talk about the music industry and my experiences and stuff that is maybe, like, not super, like, sexy to talk about. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I'm very keen to see some of that. Love to hear it. Do you reckon that's what's your plans with the YouTube channel? Just keep going, have a rant, but also have a little political, you know... influence.
Pretty much just no plans except for just want to like rant about stuff, and I was like, all right, I'll do that.
Sick. That's great. Yeah, very, very cool and exciting to hear that too. It sounds like there's loads on the cards for your project of Vera Allen, for all the amazing bandmates, and then also for doing a YouTube channel as well and some solo recording. I'm very excited to hear it all. Cool. Thanks so much, Vera, for joining us.
Thank you. Great questions.
Oh, good. Have a lovely day, and I hope that, you know, you have some orange juice, some blue Powerade, or maybe some, you know, varied minerals in your breakfast or something.
I will.
Cool. Thanks so much. We're going to roll into some Vera Allen with her new track, Sangria. Here you go. You're tuned into today, or Irirangi Kotahi, and it's the Aju Late Breakfast.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.